This is Choices with your host, Judy Mario. Our topic today is make your life work. Make every moment count. Like so many other people, you probably feel like your life is moving faster and faster. Today we do everything fast, don't we? We talk fast, we drive fast, we even eat fast. Time seems to be at a premium, and most of us are afflicted with hurry sickness. That's what I said, hurry sickness. There never seems to be enough time to do the things we have to do, much less those things we'd like to do. Many of us don't even have time to think. I believe something is terribly wrong with this picture. There are probably times when you feel like a spectator just watching your own life unfold instead of being in control. You might even be wondering who you are and what your purpose is. Time is the most precious and limited resource we have. In spite of our best efforts, time is unyielding. No one can stop it. No one can slow it down. We can't even save it. It is a rare person who has enough time to do all the things that he or she wants to do. If you're like most people, trying to find a balance in today's busy, busy professional life and your busy, busy personal life, you know what a challenge it can be to get everything done. Keeping current with what's going on in the world, not to mention technology, your industry, changing expectations at work and personal obligations, well, it's just becoming harder and harder. And for some unknown reason, we keep adding just one more thing, and we forget to eliminate another. The result is an ever-increasing time crunch. There's some questions I want you to consider. Just think about. Ask yourself these. Do I take on too much? Do I have difficulty saying no to extra demands? Do I fail to set priorities? Do I fail to plan? Sit back and shut out your other thoughts and imagine what it would be like to spend your life doing the things which are most important to you. Imagine yourself using your work time on activities that directly relate to achieving your most important goals and to those tasks which must be accomplished, and using your personal time to enjoy the things you really want to do. Wouldn't that be cool? Just sit there for a minute and create a picture in your mind. Envision yourself going through the day doing work that truly makes a difference. It feels good, doesn't it? After you've spent some time exercising your imagination, let's get real. We still have the same amount of time we have always had. The clock still ticks off 24 hours every day. The calendar still has 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. So why do we feel like we are running out of time? I believe it's because technology has reshaped the way we work, the way we eat, sleep, play, and live. We are living in an age of instant everything. Information is transmitted at the speed of light and is received instantly. Replies are expected immediately. I know I sit on the computer and send an email, and if someone doesn't send me an email right back within like 10 seconds, I start to think, well, what are they doing anyway? It doesn't even dawn on me sometimes that they might not be sitting at their computer there on the other end just waiting for me to email them. It seems there are far too many things to do and far too little time. Have you ever asked yourself, how can I get all this done in the time I have? Or is this all there is to life? It's possible you're feeling less and less satisfaction as well as more and more stress. People in this predicament often say, I need to manage my time more effectively, or I need to get control of my time. Realize this, you can't manage or control time. No one can. Let's get that. You cannot manage or control time. No one can. The only thing you can manage is yourself. Yourself and your activities within the time you have. People who are in positions of power are usually excellent self-managers. They have learned to set priorities, delegate effectively, and make decisions quickly, all of which are part of managing themselves. If you want to dramatically improve the overall quality of your life, you must manage yourself. You must learn to manage yourself. Joan Baez once said, "You don't get to choose how you are going to die or when. You can only decide how you're going to live." Well, we need to decide right now that we're going to start making every moment of our lives count. To my knowledge, this is the only life we're going to get, so we need to make it enjoyable, You need to make it enjoyable, satisfying, and rewarding. There are three primary aspects to doing this, and let's talk about them now. Number one is take control. Number two, work smarter. And number three, take action. Okay, so taking control. Taking control begins with analyzing what really happens to your time. If you would keep a time log for a period of 2 weeks in order to see exactly what you do with your time, I think you'd be really surprised. Make a thorough analysis. If you will do this, it will identify time wasters and all activities that are not necessary, as well as telling you where you're spending your time that doesn't contribute to your goals. You will, of course, also identify time spent on areas that are getting the best results. You're probably thinking, well, I don't have time to keep a time log. That's just one more thing that will add stress to my life. Stop that. Stop it. This is negative. Just do it. In the next 2 weeks, I just write down, well, you can even make a chart ahead of time for periods of time, such as between 8 and 10, 10 and 12, 2 and 4, and just write in what you do so that you can keep track of your time. Just do it. You'll be so glad that you did, because you'll be amazed at what you're going to discover. A highly successful director in the hospitality industry, who's a friend of mine, was totally at the point of burnout when she attended one of my seminars. And she was working 6 or 7 days every single week, 12 to 14 hours per day, and she hadn't taken a break or a vacation in over 6 years. Now, this woman was earning a lot of money, but she was totally unfit, and she was overweight, and the continuous hard work over the years was certainly taking its toll on her, both physically and mentally. She wasn't enjoying life, and she had very little feelings of fulfillment. And after attending our program, she began to analyze her time, and she realized how much of what she was doing was not contributing to what she had originally set out to accomplish. She immediately began to set new goals in her life so she could utilize her time with activities that would help her accomplish these goals. Within 6 months, she had literally turned her life around. When she began refocusing her energies on what worked and simplifying her activities, she was able to spend more time with her family and do the things that were most important to her. She even began to exercise regularly, and she lost some weight, and that gave her more energy. And with her increased focus on what was really important, she was able to improve business results with very little effort and take more time off. Wouldn't that be nice? Can you feel that? Can you feel that you're doing that? You see, she learned the difference between working harder and working smarter. And it really does pay to analyze what you do with your time. So that's step number one, is taking control by analyzing what you do with your time. Now, step number two, work smarter. Make a time log with 6 columns. This is what we were just talking about. Title the 6 columns, time, activity, value, urgent, scheduled, and make the 6-column interruption. So column 1, time, column 2, activity, column 3, value, column 4, urgent, column 5, scheduled, column 6, interrupted. And don't worry if you didn't get these exactly written down. You can come back to Blog Talk Radio, Judy Mario, and listen to the archived version of this particular broadcast, and you can write those down again. Okay? So every half hour, write in a time on your chart, and then enter what you have just done in the activity column. in the value column, which determines whether or not a particular activity contributes to your established goals, indicate the value by entering a plus sign, which means yes, it is of value to me, or a minus sign, which means no, it wasn't of value. Then place a check mark in the urgent column if there is any follow-up activity that has an upcoming deadline. Make a check mark in the scheduled column if the activity was pre-planned. Place a check mark in the interruption column if this activity was interrupted by anyone or anything that was unexpected. And you will realize that from keeping this time log that there's an enormous number of activities which are not contributing to the achievement of your goals. By the time you've made a thorough analysis of everything you do, you will decide to do more of some activities and less of others. And you will probably even stop doing certain activities entirely and start doing something else instead. After 2 weeks, make an in-depth analysis of your time log. This involves looking at each column and asking yourself various questions. Start with your activity column. Which activities can be simplified? Which ones can be delegated or even eliminated? Which ones need more attention? Which ones did you enjoy doing? Then go to your value column. Ask yourself, what percentage of your activities were really of value to you and your goals? Number 3, urgent column. What percentage were really urgent? Were they also important? Or were they urgent to you, or were they urgent to someone else? What percentage could have been taken care of sooner so they could have avoided becoming urgent? Look at your scheduled column. What percentage were planned or expected, and what percentage just happened? And your last column, your interruption column, what percentage were interruptions? Who or what was your most frequent interrupter? How were you interrupted most often? Were you interrupted by the phone, by email, or in person? Were they necessary interruptions? Were you comfortable with how you handled them? Now that you've looked at these columns, are there major differences between what you hoped to accomplish and what you actually did achieve? Are you spending your time pursuing those things that have high value to you? And if not, why not? Why not? Are you prioritizing? Let's talk about setting your priorities. You want to plan your yearly, quarterly, monthly, weekly, and daily priorities. The secret to successful planning is to allow extra time for unexpected situations and not overcommit or overbook yourself. Establish priorities for your activities so that at the end of the day, you will have completed the most important things. Planning long projects and breaking them down into smaller projects and timetables will help you decide and dedicate a few minutes each day to important high-value activities that carry future due dates. By getting ahead on projects, you are less likely to have last-minute crises and time crunches, and we could all do without a bit of those, couldn't we? This is Choices with Judy Morio. Listeners, I want to always be sure that I cover the subjects that you want to hear about. So I hope that you will contact me, Judy, at judymorio.com, and let me know the kinds of things that you would like to hear about. Let me know about your life, the kinds of problems you're having, the kinds of successes you want, the kinds of dreams that you have, so that I can gear all of the programs and the material toward you, because you are what's important here. You are more than enough, and you need to know that. So contact me, Judy, at judymorio.com. Now, my name is spelled with an I, J-U-D-I, at J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com. And today we're talking about how to make your life work. One of the things we want to beware of is bad habits that sabotage our best efforts. Subconscious patterns in our mind can make can make you your very own worst enemy. Whether it's trying to remember everything instead of making lists, being consistently late because you wanted to do just one more thing before leaving the office, or being easily distracted, you need to change those habits. A lot of people believe they can multitask. In fact, it's been kind of touted as something cool to do in this day and age is to multitask. Actually, what people are doing is interrupting one task with another. It's nearly impossible to do two things well, or more than two things, when you're trying to do many things at the same time. The best thing to do is to pick one thing at a time and concentrate on it, and concentrate on doing it well. Once you have all the available facts that you need about your time, you know, once you've analyzed your time and you've had available facts, make a decision. Make a decision. Make decisions quickly. Rarely does delay improve the quality of choice. Overanalysis can be seductive and stress-producing. Keep in mind that nearly all decisions must be made with imperfect information. Imperfect information. You know, so many of us, we don't want to make a decision until we get all the information or we get the right information. But nearly all decisions must be made with imperfect information. That's why it's called a decision. If you make a decision and you don't get the outcome you want, you don't have to beat yourself up. Realize that you've just found one more way that doesn't work, and then make another decision. Just keep adjusting until you do get the outcome you want. In his book, Think and Grow Rich, the author, Napoleon Hill, wrote, analysis of over 25,000 men and women who had experienced failure disclosed the fact that lack of decision-making was near the head of the list of the 31 major causes of failure. Procrastination, the opposite of decision, is a common enemy which practically everyone must conquer. Isn't that interesting? Analysis of over 25,000 men and women disclosed the fact that lack of decision-making was one of the major causes of failure. And procrastination, you know, is exactly that. It's putting off making the decision. And it is a common enemy which we must conquer. We have to also learn to delegate regularly. If you have a staff or employees, delegate to them. If done right, delegation is a learning experience and a motivator. Actively look for things your staff or members of your staff do well and let them do it. Employees are more often limited by our abilities than theirs. A manager or supervisor is supposed to spend only 20% of her time actually performing tasks and 80% of her time managing and supervising. Most of the executives we've counseled were doing just exactly the opposite. They were spending 80% of their time doing the tasks themselves and less than 20% of their time only on delegating. I can't count the number of times managers have said to me, well, by the time I explained it to them, I could have done it myself. Well, you might feel that way too, but as long as you keep doing the work yourself, no one else gets trained and you will have to keep on doing it. When you are in management or a supervisory position, it is your job to get the work done through other people. They don't need to do the job exactly like you would, and the odds are they won't. Explain to them the result or the outcome you want and let them do their jobs. Ask them to make a plan and go over it with you before they begin. If their plan is workable, let them do the job their way. We'll work harder when we do it our way. We'll work smarter when we do it our way. Recently, our office copy machine broke down. And when the man came in to look at it, he said to me, it's finished. Now, I want to tell you, in the old days, I would have gone out and researched state-of-the-art copy machines and eventually bought the best model that the salesman demonstrated to me. And that is very time-consuming. Besides, I'm not the one who uses the copy machine the most. This time, I decided to let the person who uses the machine select and order it. It empowered her, and it saved me a great deal of time and money. She was much more cost-conscious than I would have been, and in addition, she received the training on the machine and knows how to use it, which means I am not going to be the one getting interrupted to answer questions about it. The biggest and best advantage is that since she has been trained on this new machine, she has taken over all the copying. And guess what? That's saving me even more time. Now, we can learn to delegate at home, too. Your husband or partner or children are good candidates for your delegation skills. Empower them to make some decisions. Give them the responsibility of keeping particular rooms clean or doing certain tasks. Don't do it for them. Remember, if you make yourself a doormat to the world, you can't blame everyone for wiping their feet on you. When the job is completed, reward them for a job well done, just the same as you would your employees. Effective self-management offers many rewards in your business and your personal life. When you accomplish your goals and priorities, you are awarded greater freedom. It becomes easier to relax because there is no guilt about what might be left undone. Effective self-management may result in a lightened workload, career advancement, and an increase in efficiency, effectiveness, and productivity. It might just also improve your relationships. Now, step number three under this, taking control, step number three is taking action. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said, "I find the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. To reach the port of heaven, we must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it. But we must sail and not drift nor lie at anchor." Action is our only choice. Without it, we're going to become stagnant, and like a ship at anchor, we'll go nowhere. We must take specific, directed action to reach our destination, our goal. And you do that by controlling interruptions, time wasters, and distractions. Whether you're at work, at home, or in a home-based business, interruption and distractions can be treacherous. Look for patterns in interruptions. Often they are caused by ineffective systems or a breakdown in the system, process, or function. Low-priority items often masquerade as important things because they require your immediate attention. However, they will often take care of themselves without your intervention. Consider this example. When you are on vacation, you aren't there to handle all the things that need to be handled. Somehow, everything manages to get taken care of, doesn't it? But of course, even on vacation, emergencies and urgent matters do come up that need your immediate attention. Treat your day-to-day work activities the same way. Deal only with the most important and urgent matters and leave the mundane for another person or another time, if at all. Discipline your daily habits. No matter what you do, discipline is the key. Discipline is the key to your success. If you want to finish school, lose weight, write a book, become a singer, save money, be organized, or be productive, you must have good daily habits. Success is a result of diligent and deliberate discipline every single day. Sure, I understand there are many things you have to do that take up your time. Your bed still needs to be made. Dinner still needs to be cooked. Your husband still needs to hear that you love him, especially when you're showing signs of growth and change. But you must stay focused and set aside time to do something toward your goals every day. Every step, no matter how big or small, is one step closer to the life you desire. Develop your skills. Learn as much as you can about whatever it is you decide to do. Educate yourself. If you can't afford a formal education, read books. Well, libraries are full of them, and it doesn't cost you anything to go there. You can read them. You can check them out and take them home. The internet is a very useful tool. Nearly everything you could possibly want to know can be found on the internet. If you don't know how to use the internet, immediately learn to use it. I know people in this day and age, but they still don't know how to use the internet. The world has changed. The internet is where we find information, and that's one of the skills you should definitely develop. It's how to use your computer, how to get on the internet, how to find the information that you want. We need to continue gathering knowledge and information throughout our lives. It's called lifelong learning. You see, what happens is every day, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. Nothing stays the same, not even you. The world is constantly evolving, and you must do the same thing. You must learn something every day so that you get better. You need to continue to grow. There is no reason why you should ever stop growing. We should do something every day to expand our minds. Many of us stop learning because we let our imaginations just lie dormant. We don't even use them anymore. Also, we let negativity creep in. Often people say, I'm too old, or the competition is too great. If you think you're too old, you should meet my friend Dominic's mother. She is 92 years old, healthy, happy, and still works as a legal secretary. She has been in this position with this firm for more than 50 years. She stays vital, vibrant, and alive because she has purpose and she has a passion for what she does. She continues to employ and enjoy her quality of life long after many other people have given up. She stays employed. She's 92 years old, and she's still working. Isn't that amazing? You see, we have to practice this lifelong learning. Just because you've gotten this far doesn't mean you have all the knowledge, skills, and ability that you're ever going to have, or that you have all the knowledge, skills, and ability you need to survive and thrive in this world. People want to know what you've done lately. You are never as far as you can go. There's no finish line. Well, not until life is finished. But as long as you're alive, there is no finish line. So use your imagination. No matter what circumstances we're in or what age we are, we can keep creating better conditions. Even if it's just 1% better than yesterday, it's a step forward. If you keep this in mind and practice this approach, you'll find that every day, every month, and every year, you will be advancing. Set your sights on the greatest goal you can think of and hold it in your mind. Whether it is experience, like a trip, or something you might have on your bucket list, like skydiving, whether it's an advanced degree, a certification, or winning a trophy, keep going, keep learning. Become the best you can be at whatever you are doing, whether it's being a parent, working at a trade, or in a service position, or conditioning your body. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it to the best of your ability. This is Choices with your host, Judy Morio. That's me. I thank you for listening to me today. You can reach me at judy@judymorio.com. That's Judy, J-U-D-I, at Judy, J-U-D-I, Morio, M-O-R-E-O.com, judy@judymorio.com. Please contact me and let me know what you would like to hear, what issues you would like to address, what you would like to talk about. There's so much more to talk about how to make your life work for you. But just remember this, you can make it work. You are more than enough.